Trump-era tariffs on Chinese goods are still in effect. And with inflation becoming a big concern in the U.S., the Biden administration is thinking about whether reducing those tariffs could lower prices here in the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen reportedly supports the move. Here she is on Bloomberg TV last month.
We're re-examining carefully our trade strategy with respect to China. And, I think it's worth considering. We certainly want to do what we can to address inflation, and there would be some desirable effects. It's something we're looking at.
But other officials say getting rid of those tariffs won't fundamentally change what's driving high prices, and they argue tariffs are part of a longer-term strategy to make China change the way it does business. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think tariffs on many Chinese products are a good idea? Do you like a tougher stance from the U.S. on China when it comes to trade? Or do you think more open trade without tariffs is a better way to go? Do you work in an industry that relies on imported Chinese products? Are the tariffs raising costs for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Rosalind Shea is an associate professor of political science and co-directs the political economy program at Temple University. She's written two books about China, including China's Regulatory State, A New Strategy for Globalization. Rosalind, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I know this is a huge, complicated question, but in general, what is the current state of affairs when it comes to U.S. tariffs on products coming from China?
Yeah, so, many people don't know this, but we are currently still in a trade war with China, in that the different lists of tariffs, there were four lists of goods that were under tariffs, are in place. And we have also, though, been parallel to that, also have a list of exemptions, a list of products that are exempted from these tariffs. And so it's still ongoing. And as you told us in the introduction, there are now debates within the Biden administration on, what would be good economically to the United States and in terms of the future of these tariffs that are still in place.
Now, I understand that tariffs increase our cost in the U.S. some. How big a factor are they in our current inflation? How big a part of a solution could lower tariffs be?
Yeah, so I think that's a very critical question because, as Janet Yellen has said, potentially if we lift these tariffs, we could ease inflation and cut consumer prices. But, there are other causes to inflation, right, including supply chain disruptions and rises in wages due to labor shortages during COVID. And so there are other, potential causes to inflation. So if these other potential causes to inflation do not go away, then would, lifting tariffs really necessarily change anything? So that's the operative question now.
I guess we should ask what the tariffs are meant to accomplish. They could be a shield, the idea being, hey, if we make Chinese goods more expensive, we'll get more production and jobs here in the U.S., or they could be a sword, trying to use them as a weapon to get China to do business differently. What is the intent of this wave of tariffs that we have?
Yeah, so, we think about going back to kind of the beginnings of what were some of the goals of the tariffs in the first place, right? We have to go back to the kind of the politics during the Trump administration. There were two main goals. One was to balance U.S.-China trade. We were importing more from China than we were exporting to China. So that was one goal. Another goal was to change Chinese market practices, which had become quite costly for U.S. businesses in China, particularly ones that were operating in capital-intensive value-added sectors that were competing with Chinese domestic industry that China was trying to promote with such policies as Made in China 2020. And so in some ways, some of those goals were not, any different from perhaps goals that previous administration had. But what was important or different about the politics under the Trump administration was that Trump departed from more multilateral practices, such as working with WTO appellate body, and then also the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which had, the idea was to exclude China and expand U.S. trade relations with other countries in the Asia Pacific. So these were some of the goals. And the question now is, well, have has a trade war actually, achieved some of what we were trying to do, right? Balance U.S.-China trade and to change Chinese market practices. In many ways, in some ways, the trade war did not push China to meet more commitments to purchase U.S. goods. It hasn't necessarily changed market practices within China, right? Less hostility towards U.S. businesses, because China continues to want to promote domestic industry. And so the question then becomes, well, then, have these tariffs, been negative for U.S. businesses? And, one of the questions that you began the introduction with that you asked was, are there industries in the United States that have been hurt by the tariffs? Industries that use imports from China. And, if we have slapped these tariffs on these inputs, then it becomes more expensive to produce these goods that uses Chinese imported inputs. And so these are kind of some of the questions that we need to think about. Are we actually, is U.S. economy being hurt because of these tariffs? At the same time, the tariffs have diversified U.S. Supply networks, right? Move us away from relying on Chinese supply chains and diversified the type of supply chain networks that we could utilize globally. And also the tariffs haven't, in particular ways, perhaps spurred, import competing industries in the United States to produce certain intermediate goods or sector products. So, it's a balance. And I do think that what we need to do as we move forward is to think carefully, not about tariffs, not necessarily in a wholesale way, but to think about, what are some costs and benefits of the tariffs and what are some trade-offs.
Rosalind Shea is with us from Temple University. She has a new book out looking at economic development in countries including China. We're talking about U.S. tariffs on China. If getting rid of some of them, all of them would help deal with inflation in the U.S., if there are goals that the tariffs can accomplish that make us want to keep them there, join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see those tariffs stay in place or go away? Does this affect your business? Do you wish you could sell something in China that you can't currently? Do you rely on products from China for your business? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rosalind, as if the whole economic side of this wasn't complicated enough, there's the strategic side of things. We're seeing with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, countries that want to have sanctions on Russia also depend on Russian natural gas, for example, to keep their houses warm in the winter. How much of a factor is reliance on China for potentially significant strategic goods playing into all of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question that political scientists, we have to think about. It's not just economic. And so much of economics is also very affected by politics. And, with Russia's invasion in Ukraine and, China potentially being an ally to Russia on this, we have to think about, do we really want to necessarily rely on supply chain networks that are rooted in China? And perhaps we need to continue to diversify our supply chain networks. And then one of the benefits or products of the tariffs over the years have been that diversification of supply chains, right? Now that, there are certain products coming in from China that have tariffs making them more expensive, then perhaps the United States and, we need to look into other places around the world that could supply those products. And certainly there are other places in the world that do that.
Now, Wisconsin is a big manufacturing state and agricultural state, and I know a lot of people would like to be selling stuff to China. Under some of the agreements between the Trump administration and China, there were commitments, and you referred to them earlier, that China was supposed to buy X amount of our stuff. Is stuff from places like Wisconsin actually going to China or not so much?
Yeah, and that was one of the terms of the phase one agreement. And, what we've seen is that, in fact, China hasn't necessarily met many of those commitments. And so that does call into question, you know, is this trade war, in fact, a leverage for us to get China to change some of its market practices? So they're not necessarily, buying more products from the United States and some of its market practices, within China in terms of U.S. business access to markets within China hasn't necessarily changed over time. Now, you know, is this an issue of the U.S. trade war not, meeting some of its goals, or is this an issue of, Chinese globalization strategy? And, you know, in my own research, where I trace kind of China's globalization and subsequent re-regulation across industries, what I have found is that even before China's entry into the WTO, which was supposed to make China, you know, quote unquote, a normal trading country, in fact, before WTO and even since WTO, some of these practices haven't necessarily changed. China continues to promote and domestic industries that are capital intensive and value added that contribute to the national technology base and have applications for national security, and yet at the same time had liberalized its economy and introduced competition. And so those kind of strategic goals on China's end haven't necessarily changed, and I don't foresee changing necessarily its economic behavior. And so if those things don't change, then, you know, what should the United States do to make sure that it does? You know, the Trump administration, had its solution, right? The trade war. And for the Biden administration going forward, you know, what should we continue the trade war, or should it be a more nuanced strategy? You know, because in my mind, the devil is in the details.
We're talking to Roslyn Shea. She is an expert on U.S.-China trade at Temple University, with us today for a look at the still ongoing trade war with China as the Biden administration considers easing some tariffs on Chinese goods to deal with inflation. That is not a done deal by any means. You can join in at 800-642-1234. A couple of few years back, this was a hot topic. Not a lot of you calling on this right now. Is this off the radar for you? Are you not worried about trade and tariffs and trade with China right now? Is this something that affects your own livelihood? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Roslyn Shea of Temple University, with us today to talk about a move being considered by the Biden administration to lower tariffs on Chinese goods, in part to try to bring down inflation, and looking at the overall effects of the Trump-era tariffs so far. Many of those tariffs still in place, with some exemptions also still in place. You can join in at 800-642-1234. The tariffs, should they stay or should they go? Do you worry about China and how it competes on the world market? What questions do you have for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to a caller now. Jack is with us in Milwaukee. Jack, hi.
Hello. The reason I'm calling is I understand there's a lot of economic issues that we face with China, but I think the topic is a little too narrow. Years ago, it was argued that you do not train with the Chinese communists because they were such a threat in the spread of communism. And today, and over the years, because there was moderation, for example, under Deng Xiaoping and others, they did increase trade. But the theory was they were going to moderate as they became wealthier. This has not come to pass. In fact, under the current guy, he's acting a bit more authoritarian. And we're seeing more threats about Taiwan, and they're helping the Russians right now.
And Jack, thanks for the call. I heard roughly the same thing in my poli-sci classes circa 30 years ago or so, Roslyn, that increased trade would liberalize China over the long term. Jack and many others are saying that's not happening.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, you know, in my work on China's regulatory state, that's what I point out, that in fact, the Chinese government has used strategic re-regulation after the introduction of competition, after becoming a member of the World Trade Organization, to basically re-regulate the Chinese economy to maximize the benefits of globalization, right? The knowledge and technology transfers of foreign direct investment and minimize the cost. In that, you know, does China have to, you know, change its practices in terms of, you know, market entry, in terms of, you know, allowing more business scope, right? And in many ways, the Chinese has done a lot of the advantages, but meanwhile has minimized many of the potential costs on on Chinese domestic industrial development, and also. Meanwhile, also has increased its ability for authoritarian control, right? New technology comes in, builds a telecommunications infrastructure. At the same time, the government continues to control information dissemination by limiting market entry in certain sectors of telecommunications. And so in some ways, the world has been... we're confronting now, in some ways, a more open China economically, but a China that is now more stronger with more state capacity and has now ability to compete with the world economically, but politically continues to assert authoritarian control, which will have effects on global politics, including China's support for Russia right now, at least implicit support for Russia right now in the invasion into Ukraine.
Jack, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. David joins us now in the town of Raymond. David, hello.
Good afternoon. A topic important to me. I work for a very, very large Wisconsin manufacturer, and my take on the 301 tariffs is the only thing that has happened is increased cost to American manufacturing, importing, ultimately the consumers, that it has not resulted in gaining any strategic advantage against China, and it's resulted in a massive, revenue shift from the consumer into the government, and God only knows how these 301 tariff monies are actually being spent.
David, thanks for that call. Thanks for sharing the experience at your business. Rosalind, David, seeing higher costs, not a lot of difference in China.
Yeah, the various lists of goods are under the tariffs. I mean, it's quite comprehensive, right? We have, from solar panels and washing machines to wine pork pipes, robotics, information communication technology, and, you name it. And so it's so comprehensive that in many ways, we do need to, the country be more strategic in terms of, how do we target, goods for tariffs that could benefit, United States consumers, but also United States industry. And as David pointed out, many industries are suffering as well because of the increased cost of inputs, and consumers are not benefiting necessarily. And so, as I mentioned, the devil's in the details. How do we, have tariffs that are going to be targeted enough that, in fact, actually benefit consumers and industry? And one way to move forward is to expand the list of exempted products, and then also, look through carefully the several different lists of products that we have under the tariffs, and do a complete examination to make sure that, in fact, the U.S. economy is benefiting. Because I do think that having some lines of tariffs could be of leverage for the United States economically and politically, but we have to be careful we don't hurt ourselves.
Thanks for that call. Rosalind, I want to spend a couple minutes on an alternative. You mentioned the Trans-Pacific Partnership earlier, this idea that the U.S. and a bunch of other Pacific countries would have this trade deal without China. It would help put leverage on China and benefit the countries involved. Donald Trump ran against it in 2016. So did Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton had to turn against it. There was this kind of big groundswell of movement against it. But do you think that could have been a strategy to accomplish some of the things that the tariffs haven't so far?
Yeah, indeed. The Trump administration, the first act in office was to get the United States out of the TPP. I do think, of course, hindsight is always 2020, but I do think that a possibility of a strategy that is more multilateral, that brings in more countries that could be allies to the United States in terms of working with China, could have been a strategy that would have been very helpful and help us, even if we don't balance U.S.-China trade, we could have expanded U.S. markets elsewhere. We could have increased U.S.'s economic effects globally and also, increasing and moving away from even relying on China as a place for supply chains. So there, I think those kind of other more multilateral strategies could have benefited the United States. Rather, instead of what happened was we, in many ways, alienated China because there were counter tariffs as well for the against the U.S. on China's part against U.S. China trade war, and alienated China and also. In some ways, did not do benefits for our relations with other places in the world.
Rosalind, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Rosalind Shea, Associate Professor of Political Science at Temple University, with us today to talk about whether reducing tariffs on Chinese goods would impact inflation in the U.S. and what effect it could all have on America's trading relationship with China. A lot of moving parts there. Her latest book, by the way, is called Micro-Institutional Foundations of Capitalism, Sectoral Pathways to Globalization in China, India, and Russia. That book will come out later this month. And you can keep sharing your thoughts on tariffs and trade with China. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.